You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio. This is episode number 228 of the world's most dangerous podcast. I'm your host, Chad Dotson. Joining me once again this week, your friend and mine, fan of the Cincinnati Reds baseball team, Jason Linden. How are you today, Jason?
Why are you dragging my name through the dirt like that, Chad?
You don't want to be associated with this team? Buddy, you're associated with them.
I guess I am.
You're a super fan.
Oh.
Yeah, it's been a tough one, Jason Linden. As we're recording this, the Reds have 3 games left in the season, and if they go 1-2 the rest of the way, they will finish the season with the exact same record, 68-94. That they've had the last 3 seasons, or this will be the 3rd consecutive season of that. It is already the 4th consecutive season they've lost at least 90 games.
Positive momentum.
Hash brown positive momentum.
Hash brown positive momentum.
That's how the internet works, right? Hash brown.
Hash brown.
Yeah. This is Red Leg Nation Radio. I do want to say off the top, because I buried this at the end and no one is still listening at the end. So let me go ahead and say it now.
All right.
If you like us, talk about us, tell your friends. If you can go to iTunes, Stitch, or wherever you get podcasts, you can subscribe to this podcast here. If you just listen through the website, redlegnation.com, you can subscribe and get it delivered automatically. We love when you leave ratings and reviews. You guys have been fantastic about leaving these 5-star reviews, and I'm blown away by it. I really appreciate it, but it does help us find more listeners. But also, I want to say here at the beginning, because I don't want to bury this at the end, we love when you guys want to contribute to the podcast. So if you have questions for us as we move into the off season, we're going to keep this thing going, obviously. And we're not going to have games to talk about. So we're going to need some questions.
Thank God.
Yes, really. That's not a bad thing at all. So
we can stick to speculating about what it might be like when they do games.
Yes, we can pretend like we have winning games to talk about. But if you have questions, email them to me at chaddotson@redlegnation.com. chaddotson@redlegnation.com, and just say it's a question for the podcast. And as we've done a couple times, you can also, if you want to record your question in MP3 format, just attach that to the email and send it along, and we may use that on the podcast. So I wanted to say that at the beginning, and I'll probably say it at the end, because we're probably going to want to cut this short instead of talking about these old Reds. But 4 straight 90-loss seasons, potentially 3 straight seasons with the exact same 68-94 record.
Jason, positive momentum.
How is that positive momentum, Jason?
Because it's positive and it's momentum. It's momentum is when you're moving in a direction, and positive is when that's good.
Boy, you're good.
This is Dave Patty good. Oh, wait.
You're good with words. You should probably either write a book or teach English.
I do both of those things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Eesh. It's just...
Everything is terrible.
Everything is... Don't you feel like you're that little GIF sitting in a room that's on fire? Just, this is fine.
You have no idea. I mean, no idea. Yeah.
What's amazing to me is we've done a podcast, I guess, every week at Red Leg Nation Radio this season. And we're still finding things to talk about and still interested in talking about the Reds. That's something, right?
It's a thing, for sure. It exists. I enjoy our bi-weekly chats, Chadwick.
Oh, me too. And we do have some things to talk about.
So bask in it.
I'm really looking forward to this one. I want to talk about, there's a few things that are interesting to talk about. The season's winding up. And Luis Castillo, that's one thing I wanted to talk to you about, Jason, because I know you have some thoughts about our old friend Luis Castillo. And you can go back and listen to previous podcasts. You and I, before the season, extremely high on Luis Castillo. And I think probably if you ask the average Reds fan, they'd probably say, ugh, big-time disappointment this year. And I've got to say, well, the news of the week was that the Reds shut down Luis Castillo. He's not going to make his last start. He's up to about 170 innings, which was their soft limit. He's not hurt. He's not he's performing well still. But they just want to go ahead and shut him down and let him end the season on a high note, I think. And here's what I say about Luis Castillo. Even though the average fan probably says, disappointing year, I'm just as excited about the 25-year-old Luis Castillo as I was before the season. Now, am I crazy to think that, Jason?
No, especially because, I mean, if we're being completely real here, it was a disappointing April. If we take just his numbers since May, like we just cut out the first month of the season, he has a 3.57 ERA. He's striking out 9 batters per 9 innings and walking 2.3, both of which are excellent numbers. Nobody's complaining about that. He came out with his mechanics all funky. And, you know, some people might even remember, if you think back, there was a thing about, like, at one point they were really, like, kind of stuck in terms of the pitchers they had available, and they kind of wanted to shut him down for a start to fix his mechanics, because they had, like, identified the problem and they wanted him to take a start off to work on it and fix it. Mm-hmm. But they couldn't do it. But I gather he worked on it and fixed it anyway. And basically since then, he's been fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
No question. You know, he's had blow-ups here and there, as most all pitchers will, who aren't named Jacob DeGrom. But, he's had a couple of bad starts here and there. But by and large, since the calendar turned to May, he's had an excellent season.
No question about it. It's just it's a situation where he started the year. We had such high expectations for Luis Castillo. And he started the year just brutally. There's no other way to put it, through the end of April, his ERA was 7.85. That's not good, Jason Linden.
That's really not good. It's really bad.
But the second half of the year, 2.44 ERA.
Yeah. Well, even as it is, as bad as that April was, he still ended up finishing with stats that are, essentially league average.
A 25-year-old still learning, that's a roughly league average pitcher at his worst.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah, and the peripherals on that say that he probably should have had an ERA that's a little better than it is.
And his numbers, best red starter this year. Not that that's really a high bar to cross.
honestly, if you take Luis Castillo out of the rotation and insert me, there's a non-zero chance I'm the best red starter this season.
Yeah, I don't.
That's not true. There's actually a 0% chance. I'm a teacher, so I'm allowed to use verbally.
Exactly. But I don't have a problem with the Reds shutting him down, not letting Castillo make his last start, because you look at what he did in September, 3-1, 1.09 ERA, 34 strikeouts to 8 walks in 5 starts. I mean, just dominant, frankly, and I don't mind him finishing the season on an up note, and there's a lot of positive thoughts going into the offseason with him.
Really well rested for the playoffs now.
Have him ready for game 1 of the division series against the Giants
in 2022.
Yeah. All right, Jason, you had to bring it back to the fact that the Reds aren't going to make the playoffs.
They're not going to.
They need to let Castillo pitch, though, so they can finish, 69 and 93 or whatever.
Positive momentum.
Get one game better than the last 2 years.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've got a thing coming out. I think it will be up by the time people are listening to this podcast, probably.
And this is the story of the offseason right here. Listen closely.
Yeah, for Cincinnati Magazine, wherein I basically make the argument that you'll know the Reds are really trying. The only person who pitched for them this year who's in their starting rotation next year is Luis Castillo.
That's a little extreme to me, Jason.
It's a little extreme. What I actually really kind of think is, I think Castillo should be a lock, and I think you can have a number of guys that you basically put in competition for a number 4 or 5 type spot. But I think the Reds bare minimum have to get 2 frontline pitchers, and they really need to get 2 frontline pitchers and then sort of a middle of the road starting pitcher for their rotation next year. Okay. I think they can add 3 pitchers at least.
I can see that. I think you've got Castillo. And then I think you've got probably 7 guys that can be a 4 or 5.
Yep, and it's time to cut bait on about 5 of them.
Yeah, cut bait, or they're just roster filler and backup plan.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, it was one of those things where I think I did as much as anybody else at various times. Guys would be pitching well or whatever, and I would talk myself into them and be like, hey, all right. But, you know, we're at the end of the season now, and the only starting pitcher on the roster who even approaches average is Luis Castillo. With the exception of Cody Reed, who's had only really a tiny handful of starts.
Right. And out of that group of, I say 7 guys or something for 4 and 5, there's a couple of those guys that if things break right, I think you count on them in the 4 or 5 spots, but if things break right, there's 2 guys that I see could be better than that. Of course, that's Anthony DeSclafani, who you can't count on, but has potential to be better than that. And of course, Tyler Malley, who was just 23 this year.
That's what I say too. Like, you know, if the Reds opened next year with a rotation that went, say, Corbin, Keuchel, Castillo, Kershaw, Disco, I would not complain.
Hold on. Keuchel, Corbin, Kershaw, Castillo. Oh, my gosh. It's alliteration. I love it.
You brought Kershaw in there, but I'm on board. I mean, let's make it happen.
Okay, you say if they bring in 4 guys, and really, that's I'm on board with that. But if it's me, I go into the season saying my best case scenario, I go into the season saying Castillo, DeSclafani, Molly are my 3 guys that I'm sliding into 3, 4, 5 right now.
Yeah,
we have to go get a 1 and 2.
Yes, yeah, you have to get a 1 and 2. That's really, I mean, that's the real point, and that's, you know, that's really what my central argument is. It's, you have to go get a 1-2, not a 3-4.
Right.
Not 2 number 3s. No, a 1-2. You have to get a 1-2.
Right. And Castillo, you know, could be a 2 if things break right. Molly could be a 3.
You have a 1, a 2, a 2. Like, you know, like if things break right, cool, but assume they won't. I'm tired of assuming that this guy might figure it out or that things might break right for that guy. No. I don't want to have to assume. I want to go into spring training feeling good about the team, not feeling hopeful about the team.
I think it's a great way to frame it, Jason. Let's go into it saying that Castillo's our 3. Coming into this year, we were like, oh, man, he shows signs. He could be an ace. And he still shows those signs. He could be an ace. But let's go into the season saying he's our number 3 guy. And Anthony DeSclafani, he's our number 4 guy. And Tyler Malley, he's our number 5 guy. Or, you know, some mixture of those. All 3 of those guys have the potential to outperform that. And you and I are as optimistic as anyone, and we will be optimistic in the spring about those guys probably.
Yeah, but, I mean, you do something like that, and that's how you end up with, say, the 2012 Reds.
Right. Oh, yeah, right.
Well, I mean, everybody outperformed what they were expected to do, but they were already so stacked that just made them fantastic instead of merely excellent.
So you go out and get a 1 and a 2. And then you've got these other guys, and then you've got Cody Reed and Michael Lorenzen, and I'll mention his name, Robert Stevenson. I probably shouldn't, but Lucas Sims. You know, certain guys who
I'll say this. I don't think Lorenzen. I do think Lucas Sims should be in the mix. I think people need to let go of the Michael Lorenzen fantasy.
I know. I know. I disagree with you, but I think Michael Lorenzen is the next Shohei Ohtani. I think he's the next superstar in baseball. I think he's probably going to be MVP next year.
Oh, now you're using both hyperbole and verbal irony, Chad.
Ooh, you do teach English.
I do teach English, yes.
Very impressive. Yeah. But no, I bring him up only in the mix of this group of guys that should be in consideration for your number 6 starter.
Yeah, I would say that. I like Lorenzen as kind of a long man out of the bullpen who can spot start when need be.
Mm-hmm. And play center field if you need him to.
That's his best role. You know, I think it's, I do think it is important for people to acknowledge that in a career wherein he's been mostly a relief pitcher and relief pitching is easier than starting pitching, he has been overall below average. So he's fine. This always comes with the qualification. I'm sure he's a very nice boy and he helps old ladies across the street and all of that stuff. And this is not an attack on his character. but it's just a frank assessment of his performance.
I feel almost certain that he's helping old ladies across the street, that guy. But before we move on, because we may disagree on the edges on this issue, but not really that much. But I want to ask you about one guy here that we probably shouldn't waste much time talking about him. But I was thinking about him the other day, and you and I are as loud as anyone. And when Bill Lacks on this podcast, he is the exact same way we have been for years about, don't give up on young pitchers, you know. And we've been patient with Cody Reed because, you know, young pitchers struggle. And has there been anyone in the major leagues whose stock has dropped as a 25-year-old more than Brandon Finnegan?
Oh, God, no.
What a, you know, the 7.4 ERA, just a disaster for Cincinnati, but then goes to AAA Louisville and just is complete garbage in the ERA over 7 there, mostly in relief.
Yeah, well, he's a relief pitcher now, is my understanding.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's definitely
Brandon Finnegan, potential starting pitcher. No, he is a relief pitcher.
He was a guy that I thought coming into the year, he was 24 in the year start. I thought, and he'd had some success in the major leagues. Oh, this is a guy that he's probably a 5 starter or back of the rotation, but has a chance to be a starter. He'd had success in that role. And if not, it's a shutdown reliever.
Yeah.
And turns out he can't get anyone out.
Yeah. That's
7.05 ERA in AAA this year. A whip, walks and hits per innings pitch, 1.921, almost 2 walks and hits per inning.
Yeah. And let me tell you, I saw a lot of those, and it was not pretty.
He was hurt most of last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
what's that about? Is he still hurt? He has to be.
I don't think he's hurt.
Yeah, that's a guy that I don't know. He's fallen completely off the face of the earth, and yeah. I hate it.
I will say, I think Finnegan and Stevenson are the two pitchers in the organization who have basically eliminated themselves from the conversation.
Come on, you don't like Stevenson's 9.26 ERA for the Reds this year?
I do not. And I really don't like his 7,000 walks per 9 innings.
Come on, that's his game, man. He can be successful while walking people. He told us so.
Well, you know, I'm just a writer, so what do I know? But,
all right, who's better of these three? Robert Stevenson, in terms of who you would depend on next year. Now, I'm going to give you 4 names. Robert Stevenson, Lucas Sims, Giovanni Gallardo, or Luis Alberto Bonilla.
I mean, it's real close between Sims and your good buddy, Mr. Bonilla there.
Yeah, bad year for the rest of them, except for Luis Alberto, who, like Michael Lorenzen, they'll probably be co-MVPs next year. So
probably, yeah, probably.
Well, about the pitching, and we've talked about the Reds need to go out and get pitching, and I can't wait to see your piece at Cincinnati Magazine. But Dick Williams, Cincinnati's president of baseball operations, did a little interview this week, and said that pitching was the number one priority in the offseason. Now, let me read his quotes, and I want to see what you think about those.
Oh, I will share my thoughts.
The first quote I want to get your comment on is this one. The last couple of years, our free agent signings were kind of limited to this year. Jared Hughes and David Hernandez, the year before, Scott Feldman and Drew Storen, the immortal Scott Feldman and Drew Storen. Then Williams said, we have the ability to spend more than that. Not incrementally. It should be significantly more than that. But then he qualified it by saying, it still only goes so far, unfortunately. So, yes, significantly. All right. And then it only goes so far. So, what do you make about that quote? They're going to spend on pitching.
They're going to.
That's good.
That says to me, we are going to come to spring training with maybe a number 2 or number 3 level pitcher, and also we're going to re-sign Matt Harvey.
Yes. And that was the next quote I was going to read. We definitely will stack Matt up against the available options. The fact that he's been here, we've seen how he interacts with our coaches and our players will certainly work in his favor. Everybody's been favorably impressed. A lot of possibilities. Hard to say where Matt fits in from that perspective. That's what I think. They're going to go after one big splash guy, and then they're going to sign Matt Harvey, who's a number five starter.
Yep, that's what they're going to do.
And they're going to pretend like he's a two starter.
I'm over it.
Yep.
Like, no. Like, I mean, if you want to sign Matt Harvey to be your number four or five starter, all right, fine.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
But, I can't even talk now. Unless it's Corbin or Keuchel, is the splash guy they sign. I've got nothing for him.
Yeah, I agree. They've got to make that huge splash. And Dick Williams hints it. You know, we're going better than Scott Feldman. Okay, good. That's what we're asking for. I think they're going to overpay for Matt Harvey. I think they're going to try to make the case, and I think a lot of Reds fans are going to be willing to believe it. Maybe not listeners to Red Leg Nation Radio, but a lot of Reds fans are going to be willing to believe that Matt Harvey is going to be a number two guy or even an ace. I think they're going to try to make that case. And then they go out.
He's not.
Nope.
At best, he's a number three.
That's the most optimistic I can get.
Yeah.
I mean, he was below average this year.
Yes.
But not far below average.
Not far below average and not far below average with the Reds. And you can splice the numbers, you know, and look at how he, you know, if you kind of take out his first few starts with the Reds where he was getting back on his feet and they were doing some things mechanically with him, et cetera, et cetera. You can make a case. You can talk yourself into it. But I'm over talking myself into things.
Yeah, yeah. And this is what I was getting to earlier when we were talking about. Let's plug in Castillo at three and DeSclafani at four and Molly at five. Let's not plug them in where we hope they can be.
Yeah.
Because hope is not a strategy, as they say. And if you're signing Matt Harvey, hoping he's going to return to the Matt Harvey he used to be, or hoping he can be a number two starter, you're going to be completely, completely disappointed. And if you're not disappointed, hey, that's great. But you got to be realistic about it. And if they realistically think that Matt Harvey's a number two starter, get out of town with that nonsense. They ought to all be fired.
Yeah, but I mean, you know.
But if they get a Keuchel or a Corbin and Harvey, I'm probably still going to be pretty excited.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you got a top guy and then you got three, four, five guys. They'll be better.
Yeah. It's got to be somebody real, Chad.
No, yeah. No, if Harvey is one of the, if they sign two starters and Harvey's one of them, the other guy better be the best available starting pitcher on the market.
Yes, absolutely.
That's the only way to justify it in my mind.
Yeah. All right. Yes, I completely agree. And the only other way I can see justifying it is if they also have a deal wherein they halfway empty out the farm system to get a hold of somebody.
Well, that's actually the way I would go. If my optimal strategy, if I'm in the front office, is we try to break the bank to sign one good free agent starter. And then we try to package some of our minor league assets to get another guy that's maybe younger, cost controlled. I don't know, somebody that with some upside, not a prospect, not a guy in AA.
Yeah.
But a guy that can be in the major league rotation next year with huge upside that you got team control. I would start trading the Taylor Trammells. I would start, you know, not that I want to trade him, but I'm just saying it's time to start dealing some of these minor league assets. And that's my optimal. That's my hope. Hope's not a strategy, but that's my optimal strategy in the offseason. They've got to start moving some of these guys, don't they?
You know, this is what I'll say, though. I mean, I actually, like, I'm just another way that I'm already past it is just, this is a family podcast, so I'm struggling for words. I'm over caring about how the Reds spend money because it's not my money. Right? Like everybody always is like, well, it's easy to spend somebody else's money. Yes, it is. And you know what? It's not my money. So I really don't care how much of it Bob Castellini spends. I just want to see a good baseball team.
Yeah. You know, in my Cincinnati magazine piece this week, I sort of compared the Reds rebuild to some teams that are to the strategy of some teams that are actually going to make the playoffs. And one of the points I had, there's a really good piece. I linked to what you wrote earlier this year about it being not being Castellini's team, being a sort of holding it in trust for Cincinnati, but also a piece at Beyond the Box Score that says there's no such thing as a small market team. You know, if the owner wants to spend money, the owner will spend money.
Yes.
And to me, does Bob Castellini want to commit to delivering on his promise to bring championship baseball back to Cincinnati? He promised us all that in 2006, and I'm completely impatient. So,
yeah.
You know, I agree. It's easy to spend other people's money, but
you know what's not easy?
What's not easy?
Watching a terrible baseball team.
Year after year after year. 17 of the last 22 years.
Yeah.
Losing records.
Yep.
You know. Oh. Why are we still talking about this team?
I don't know.
Mm. Okay, anyway.
Yeah. But
the fact of the matter is, you and I are as optimistic as anyone, and we follow this team as closely as anyone, and we care about this team as much as anyone. And I don't think it's overstating things to say that if the Reds don't go all in, make a huge splash this offseason, kind of like the Brewers did last year when they decided they wanted to try to win. If the Reds don't make that big splash, I'm going to find it very difficult to waste a second of my time caring about Bob Castellini's Cincinnati Reds in 2019.
Yep.
I mean, why should we care about them? If they don't go all in this winter, why should we even care about them?
And I mean, also, let's be real. The Central is good.
Yeah.
This is a good division. It's not like we're waiting for one team to become Cleveland and then everybody else is the rest of the AL Central. Like, the NL Central is a very strong division. There's a chance that, or is it clinched now? I haven't looked at the standings for a little bit, that all of the teams except the Reds could finish with a winning record.
It's clinched that the Reds are going to be in fifth place again.
Yeah, well, that's been clinched for a while. let's see. I'm looking real quick. Yeah. It's up to the Pirates. The Pirates need to win two more games to finish with a winning record. But yeah, so there's a really good chance that every team except the Reds in the division will finish with a winning record. If you're going to have to come to play next year, if you want to have any chance of competing in this division.
Yeah. I'm not saying that I demand the Reds make the playoffs next year, because they could really go all in and still not make the playoffs because it's a tough division. But it's time to play ball.
Yeah.
What are you going to do, wait until the division weakens up to go all in? I mean,
it's time. It is time right now.
Yeah. We said this last winter, and they absolutely just screwed around. Had no interest in winning this year. It's obvious in retrospect. Not putting up with it with another year, and no Reds fan should put up with it. No Reds fan should buy a single ticket next year. No Reds fan should, and we will, I'll be watching, but we shouldn't watch a single broadcast.
Yeah.
Because they're taking us for granted at that point. You know, come out and drink beer at the new bar at the ballpark, or come out and get a new bobblehead. Nah, I want to watch some wins.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Listen. Were it not for Joey Votto and Eugenio Suarez, I may be trying to find a different team.
Yeah, really.
Like,
the truth of the matter is, next year, if they don't go all in this winter to improve this team, I'll be watching someone else. I'm not going to stop watching baseball. I'm not going to watch the Reds every night.
Yeah. Yeah, there are other fandoms that I could see myself becoming a part of. If I needed to.
Are you talking about Harry Potter? That's what you're talking about, right?
I'm not. Though listeners, Chad is referencing the fact that I was telling him that my daughter has been deep into Harry Potter lately, thus the late hour of our podcast, because she keeps staying up reading.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I got to teach my daughter to read someday. She's 16 now.
Yeah. God, you have a 16-year-old daughter. You're old.
I know. She just turned 16. It's really scary. And yes, I am very, very old. I'm so old that I remember the last time the Reds won a playoff series.
I remember the last time they won the World Series.
Oh, well, then you're old too, because you have to be able to remember those. There are like two generations of Reds fans that don't remember that.
Hey, you want me to tell a 1990 Reds story?
Well, sure. That's the last time the Reds were any good.
This is random. I don't think I've ever told this story anywhere on the internet. So, okay. So this is a story where I'm going to be kind of hard on my mom, but she redeems herself. Okay.
Okay.
So everybody just stick through. So I was 10 when the Reds last won the World Series. And I was exactly as excited as a 10-year-old boy you would expect a 10-year-old boy to be when his favorite team wins the World Series. And so, I don't know, it's a few weeks after, and I'm just still going on about it, right? Like you do. Like, oh, I just can't believe it. It's so great. And so my mom, my mom was a computer programmer, and I guess she knew some people who were, I think IBM was in Cincinnati at the time, or partially in Cincinnati, and she knew some of those people, and she was like, oh, you know, I could have gotten you tickets to the World Series, but I didn't think you'd want to sit with a bunch of computer dorks.
Oh, Mom.
And I was like, oh, Mom.
And all these years later, you're still like, oh, no.
Well, but here's the thing. Here's where mom redeems herself, right? Years pass, right? Years and years. And you may recall that recently the Reds had a run of being pretty good. In fact, being good enough that we actually, some of us went in together and kind of like split playoff tickets, right?
Reds were in the playoffs?
Huh?
The Reds?
Yeah. The Reds were in the playoffs. And I was just making conversation about it with mom. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm really going to have to, like, I'm going to have to pull something, you know, it's going to be expensive, but I'm totally going in on it. And she just looks at me and she's like, oh no, I've been waiting years for this. I got this. So I didn't get to use them, and we got the money back, but mom bought me World Series tickets.
She wasn't going to let this opportunity slide by.
No, she wasn't.
Well, good job, Mom.
Yeah, so good job, Mom. So there's a fun, heartwarming story about family and baseball and things that, you know, might take your mind off the fact that the Reds are the way they are.
Yeah, the way I hear that story is the Reds haven't been in a World Series since you were 9. So she's not had an opportunity to redeem herself since you were 10 or whatever.
Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah, that's what I hear. So
yeah,
way to go, Reds. Way to go, Castellini. Bringing that championship baseball back to Cincinnati like you promised us in 2006.
Yep.
He's never going to offer me a job at this point, but I guess he's going to lean into it.
He's not either. No, I don't think I'm getting any job offers either.
Yeah, well. Oh, well. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Bob Castellini running this organization into the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Like, it just seems like it's become, you know, enough stuff has leaked out of, you know, like you sort of read between the lines or whatever of various reports. And it just is clear, like, every move that has left you scratching your head for the last several years is a Bob Castellini sticking his nose where it doesn't belong move.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's not 100% his fault, but he gets the blame. The buck stops right there at his desk.
Yeah.
And my resume is on your desk, Bob, if you'll just give me a call. I'll come help you out. So, we've been talking about what the Reds need to do this offseason, which is pitching, 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 and more pitching. But yep. Much of the news media, to the extent that they do any kind of reporting, is talking about the Reds' search for a permanent manager in 2019 and beyond. And, again, Dick Williams, friend of the podcast, Dick Williams, interviewed this week and had some interesting thoughts about the managerial search and the fact they've already interviewed some candidates. So they've interviewed all of their internal candidates. And to me, I guess, okay, interview your internal candidates. They better not hire an internal candidate. That's what I'm going to say when I get to the end of this. But the ones they've interviewed are bench coach Pat Kelly, third base coach and 1990 wire-to-wire Reds World Series hero Billy Hatcher, first base coach and the greatest name in the organization, Freddie Benavides, have all interviewed. John Farrell, former Red Sox manager, who's been a Red Scout and advisor, he's going to be interviewed as well. And current interim manager, Jim I Love Bunts Riggleman, going to interview as well. So those are the five internal candidates. And Williams didn't say how any of the interviews went, but he also says that two other things that I want to get your comments on all these, but two other things. We're getting ready to do interviews at some point and hope by the end of October to have a manager, but we're going to do some interviews with candidates outside the organization, and Barry Larkin is not going to be one of those that gets an interview.
Yeah. The Larkin thing I find extremely surprising.
It's interesting.
I almost kind of thought that was going to be sort of a coronation, to be honest. But I mean,
it seems like Castellini's, yeah, he's big on let's promote all the history because we don't have anything else to promote.
Yeah.
That would have been a big one. He's a Hall of Famer, that Barry Larkin.
I mean, this is what I honestly feel like. Even if the Reds end up going with an internal candidate, they're not going to hire Larkin, apparently. And if they don't hire Riggleman, then I feel like probably the people who are supposed to run the baseball team are being allowed to run the baseball team with that decision. I think the two possible decisions that would have ownership fingerprints all over them would be Riggleman or Larkin.
You don't think John Farrell might have some ownership?
Maybe a little, but I mean,
and that might not be a bad choice.
Yeah, that's one I can live with that. Just if John Farrell hadn't been hired by the Reds to be a scout this year, and then they interviewed him,
right?
You know, now and hired him, I don't think anybody would gripe.
Yeah. The quote from Williams on Larkin was, Larkin and I have had great conversations about his future with the organization. He's really happy with his current situation, thinks he can help in a number of ways. He has helped in a lot of ways. He still has managing as a long-term goal. I'm supportive of that. And, of course, if you remember, Larkin said he only wants to manage the Reds. The organization is supportive of that, he says, which means sounds to me like Bob Castellini is supportive of that. I think he'll continue to work on his skill set to prepare for managing. Someday he can do whatever he wants in this game if he puts his mind to it. Now, the way that I can read that is, to me, maybe I'm reading too much into it, is Larkin said, you guys suck. I don't want to manage you right now. Let me keep doing what I'm doing, and then when you're ready to compete, I'll be there. And I'm probably reading too much into that, but that's sort of what that sounded like to me.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, the only thing I worry about is who wants this job if they feel like they're just keeping the seat warm for Barry Larkin.
It's got to be a concern because he did have the comments earlier this year that were critical of Brian Price, and he's sort of looming over everything.
And frankly, if we're talking about like legit candidates, you know, like the kinds of people that we would really want to see hired, with the team in the state that it's in right now and with Larkin where he is, I don't know that I would be interested unless I were offered a contract of some substantial length, mm-hmm. like maybe a 3 or 4 year contract.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Although they would probably offer Larkin that, I would think. Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. But I would want some security, right? Like, I mean,
oh, if you're another guy coming in with Larkin sort of looming over you, you'd want some security.
Right, yeah.
Yes, I agree.
3 or 4 years to either prove myself, or if you decide you're going to kick me to the curb, then I at least want, you know, at least want to have a salary.
I don't want Larkin to be the Reds manager. And it has nothing to do with how I think he'll perform as a manager, because I truthfully really don't know. I mean, he used to say some crazy things on ESPN or whatever, but.
Yeah.
You don't really know. It's been a while since that happened, and the game has changed a lot, and he may be absolutely open to all the analytics, and I don't know. I don't know how Larkin will be as a candidate. I'm not in the room on these interviews, so I won't know. The reason I don't want Barry Larkin to be the manager is Barry Larkin is my favorite Cincinnati Red of all time.
And you don't want it ruined.
His legend will be tarnished because no manager, it doesn't end well for any of them. Sparky Anderson got fired. It won't end well, and I hate to see that affect Larkin because I just have so many great memories of him as a player. It's not unreasonable to think that, is it, Jason Linden?
No, it's not unreasonable, and I'm kind of with you. I like Larkin is sort of the paterfamilias of the Reds. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
just be the like father of the team, effectively. Yeah. Like, continue your role of like whipping those youngins into shape. And
absolutely,
been doing, and I'm down with that.
Although it is an interesting point that you bring up, that it kind of reminds me when Wayne Krivsky was the GM of the Reds and did some good things, did some questionable things, but I thought overall had done a decent job with Cincinnati as the general manager when Castellini took over, he brought in Walt Jocketty as a, you know, senior advisor to the GM or what, or to the owner or whatever. And everybody, when Walt Jocketty was hired, was like, oh my goodness, that guy's going to be GM at some point. You know, they're bringing him in and they're going to, he's going to, the axe is going to fall. And it did. Krivsky was fired far too early. And Jocketty, who also did some good things as GM, no question, but I wonder if a new manager is going to think, just like you said, uh-oh, Larkin's there. He's the heir.
Yeah.
So let's talk about these internal candidates.
All right.
Because we don't know who the external candidates are. And so here are my thoughts about that. First of all, the Reds have – I want to know what your thought is to this statement. The Reds absolutely have to hire an external candidate.
Yeah.
100%.
I think they do. Because of the optics of it, frankly.
This organization, they announced a bunch of promotions. Everybody in this organization just gets promoted.
Yeah.
You know, the team has lost 90 games four plus years, and everybody's getting promoted.
The Reds are so good at hiring people and promoting them up through the system based entirely on merit, they would be a lot better than they are right now.
Yeah, yeah. It looks an awful lot like people are failing upward.
Yeah.
Now, like we said, if John Farrell, who of course won a World Series with the Red Sox, if he's the guy, he's technically an internal candidate, and I guess I would squint and be, okay, I'm all right with that. But he's the only one that I think you can justify. Otherwise, you've got to go outside and get someone else.
Well, I do think that there's probably some instances where there are guys who have been around as part of the organization for a long time and probably get interviewed as something of a courtesy.
Oh yeah, like, I think it's Hatcher.
They're not real candidates, but you want to show them that they're appreciated. And they want a chance to at least, be in the room. So you do that. And I think that to me at least sounds like what a lot of the interviewing up until now has been.
Sure. Billy Hatcher. Give him an interview. I got no problem with that. Pat Kelly, he's been on the minor league level. Jim Riggleman, you got to interview the guy.
Yeah.
You don't hire any of those guys.
No.
You just don't. I mean,
nope.
Farrell, you consider because he's had some success in another organization. But otherwise, I think you got to go. I've been saying this for months. Find the best available manager that's out there.
Yeah. I mean, really, I'm going to be honest. The route I would really like to see the Reds go is the route that various teams are going. And the one that kind of leaps immediately to mind is Aaron Boone being hired to manage the Yankees, is basically the former player ambassador. So
I had a different manager that I was going to say, but it's the exact same point. Go ahead and finish your point.
Upper management makes all of the sort of strategic decisions. It's this is what your lineup will be every day. This is what's going to happen. This is how you're going to use these players or these pitchers or whatever. And it's your job to sell it.
Yeah.
And I think that's fine. And I also think it is a situation wherein, if there are some players, for instance, who are reluctant to buy in on some of the newer analytics or analysis or whatever, then it allows that manager to be like, I totally understand where you're coming from, but, I have to do what I have to do. Yeah. It's always better to have somebody higher up the chain be the bad guy.
Oh, absolutely.
If it's somebody, if it's the GM or the president of baseball operations or whatever the hell they call Dick Williams now, who is the bad guy, fine, great, be the bad guy, because you're not in the clubhouse every day.
Yeah. And what we've seen is there's a big disconnect between the front office, those guys like Dick Williams and Nick Kroll and Sam Grossman, and what's happening on the field in terms of what the manager's doing. The guy I was going to mention was Gabe Kapler with the Phillies.
Yeah.
Who's an odd guy, but a former player who is absolutely open to all these advanced analytics and just out of the box thinker. You want those guys.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Something like that. Somebody who's going to have that respect, no more old school.
Right. Jim Riggleman.
Yeah.
Dick Williams, though, his quote was, right now the target candidates either have managed at the big league level or have some big league coaching experience, which probably argues against the, what we're just talking about. I don't see us targeting a lot of completely out-of-the-box candidates. I think we're going to want people who have a level of comfort in the dugout, preferably at the big league level, in their background. I don't know what to make of that, frankly.
I don't know. That sounds like ownership talking through management.
Yeah. Go get Scott Rolen if he's open to, doing what the front office tells him in terms of lineups and.
God, I would be so on board with that.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine a guy that could come into the clubhouse and have some credibility? Local guy, too, so you could sell that big time. That's the type of guy I'm thinking of, a former Red who I like the idea of a first-time manager because they may be more open to what the front office is going to tell them to do, basically.
Yeah, they don't have their way that they do it.
Yeah, and Riegelman has done some things that are clearly coming from the front office in terms of third time through the lineup, being hesitant to let pitchers keep going. But Riegelman's going to bunt no matter what. He's going to do his – he has his things that he's going to do no matter what. The Reds got to get away from that old school stuff.
Yep. You are correct, sir, entirely and utterly correct.
What about Joe Girardi?
He's a person who exists. I don't know. I don't think that's happening.
Thanks for your analysis there, Jason. He is a person who exists. I don't really care who it is, except I think they need to go outside the organization and get a guy that's open-minded. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, just do something different.
Yeah, what they've been doing has not been working.
Can I just be pleasantly surprised? Just once?
For once.
Can I rant for a minute?
Oh, I wish you would. It's about my favorite part of Red Leg Nation Radio.
Can we just enter spring training with me looking at the rotation and going, hey, you know what? I would be surprised if this were a disaster. I can imagine it not being a disaster. No, I want to be surprised if it's a disaster. That's the first thing I want.
Right.
I want to come into spring training thinking, you know, that looks okay. I can live with that. Also, I'm just going to be realistic. I understand that Scooter Gennett is going to be the starting second baseman of the Cincinnati Reds next year because Bob Castellini loves him, and that's that. So, okay, fine. Can Nick Senzel please start in center field?
I'm on board with that.
Can we do that?
Because
that lineup will mash.
Yeah, not on opening day.
Mash. Can we just do that? Give me that. Give me a rotation. Give me Nick Senzel in the lineup on opening day.
No.
And I'll shut up.
Well, you're not going to shut up because Nick Senzel will not be in Cincinnati on opening day.
He'll be in Louisville getting warmed up or final preparation for the big leagues for exactly 8 days or whatever until 2 weeks of the major league service time have passed, and then he'll get called up.
Yeah, we're going to plan a special edition of the podcast, just you and I. Maybe just a short one, 20, 30 minutes, just screaming about how cynical it is that the Reds have one of their best players is not in Cincinnati.
And let's be honest also, it's not just the Reds. This is an epidemic all over baseball. The fact that the Blue Jays never called up Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is a travesty. Mm-hmm. I mean, a travesty.
I agree.
And people should be outraged to the extent that you should ever be outraged about baseball.
Right. I agree, but to me, the Reds are a team that's in the position where they cannot afford from day one. They cannot afford not to have the best 25 guys on their roster because I'm done. I've lost all patience. It's time to put a winning team on the field, even for the first 2 weeks, because you know what? We saw what happened this year when you punt on the first 2 weeks. Season was over.
What?
Yeah,
Were the Reds not good at the beginning of the year this year?
They were slightly not good.
God, how much trouble was that?
All I'm asking is do what the Brewers did last year. Be aggressive this winter.
Yeah.
Go out and trade for a great player like Christian Yelich. Not that's the guy I wanted to trade for last year, but
yeah.
Go out and trade for a player that level. And then, they go out and sign a guy to a 5-year contract like they did with Lorenzo Cain. Go out and spend some money. Go out and trade some guys. Improve this roster substantially. I'm not talking about, I heard Dick Williams say, we're going to spend a substantial amount more money. And to me, all I can hear in my head is they're going to sign Scooter Gennett to a long-term contract. They're going to sign Matt Harvey to a contract, and then they're going to come back and tell us, look at all this money we spent this offseason.
Chad.
That's what went through my head, Jason. If that happens, and I don't have any problem with Harvey being on this team next year. I don't have any problem with Scooter being on this team next year, depending on what else happens around them. But if those are your two big offseason layouts of money, I'm done. I'm absolutely done with this team.
Yeah, same.
Good grief.
Absolutely. We can become Wahoo Wah Nation or whatever.
Ooh. Not Pensacola Blue Wahoo Nation, because they're no longer the double-A team of the Cincinnati Reds. The Reds are moving to back to Chattanooga. Did you see that, Jason?
I did see that.
Yeah, when the Reds were in Chattanooga before, I went down there and watched them one time, and they had this one guy playing at catcher who I was like, man, that guy's a goofy-looking guy, but he, you know, he had a couple hits or something, and he was slow. He couldn't run. I was like, he caught my eye. A guy named Ryan Hannigan. You remember that guy?
I do remember Ryan Hannigan.
Yeah, that guy had a good little Reds career.
He had a good little career, period.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's Chattanooga's back in the Cincinnati Reds organization. So that's good. A little closer to me where I am. And Pensacola, who wants to go to Florida?
No one who doesn't want to get eaten by an alligator.
Absolutely. I don't want to get eaten
or
by an alligator.
Giant snake. There's snakes down there that eat alligators, Chad.
Yeah. Jason, by the next time we record a podcast, the red season will be over. Will you be happy that the red season is over?
Well, first, I'm relieved because I thought you were going to say by the next time it's time to record a podcast, you will have been eaten by a giant snake.
Well, it's possible.
So, not the route that you went, for which I'm grateful. Yeah, I'm done.
All right. Reds MVP this year?
Eugenio Suarez.
Clearly. Reds pitcher of the year this year?
Luis Castillo.
Luis Castillo?
Yeah.
Pitcher of the year? Not going to go with Jared Hughes?
It would either be him or Jared Hughes, but starting is harder than relieving, so I'm always going to take the best starter.
Agree. 170 innings versus Jared Hughes' 77. What about what other? So we'll give Hughes relief pitcher of the year. How about that? How about Reds Gold Glover? Who's the best defensive player on the Reds this year?
I mean, still got to be Billy, right?
Not Tucker?
No, Billy.
Okay, we'll go with Billy Hamilton, comic book superhero, Billy Hamilton. One Reds player, current Reds player that the Reds should try to sign to a contract in the offseason of, you know, an extended contract.
I mean, who should they sign?
Let me tell you what I think. Well, go ahead.
The only real good candidate would maybe be Winker or Peraza. I mean, those are the only ones that, or I guess you could make a case for Castillo, but I don't know if I'm quite there yet.
Yeah, I wouldn't sign any of those guys. There's not a single guy on this team I would look to lock up like the Reds did with Suarez. It was a trick question, Jason.
I mean, that felt like a trick question.
It was a trick question. Rookie of the year for the Reds this year, Jesse Winker?
Oh, yeah.
Good season, that guy.
Yeah.
Best season for a Red this year of anyone whose initials are SS?
Scott Schebler.
Yes, yep, absolutely, Scott Schebler. Greatest player in the history of the Cincinnati Reds, 2018 edition. Who's the one player on this year's team that is probably the best player that ever played for the Reds?
That would be one Mr. Joseph Daniel Votto.
Oh, close. The answer we were looking for, Billy Hamilton. But we do have some nice parting gifts for you, Jason Linden.
Joseph Daniel.
Everyone's upset with his season this year, and he was still fantastic.
Yeah, let's because I feel it winding down.
Let's finish up with some Votto facts, and then we'll finish this thing up.
I want to look it up. I want to know where it is at this exact moment. So everybody bear with me. Just hold on for 1 second.
I'm bearing with you.
Joey Votto is currently leading the National League in on-base percentage over one Brandon Nimmo. Remember when the Reds almost traded for Brandon Nimmo?
Yeah, they got Dilson Herrera instead.
By 16 points with 3 days left in the season. That's as close to clinching as you possibly can get.
Going to lead the league again.
And so let's just say that beautiful to see. I feel I feel happiness in my heart. And I'm just going to say this list. We'll do it from the dawn of baseball forward. Rogers, Hornsby, Ty Cobb, Babe Ruth, Ted Williams, Barry Bonds, Joey Votto. That is your complete list of players to ever lead the league in on-base percentage 7 times.
A bunch of inner circle Hall of Famers and Joseph Daniel Votto. That's beautiful.
The greatest hitter in the history of the Cincinnati Reds.
I think we're getting to the point where you can't even argue that.
Yeah.
He doesn't have 4,256 hits, though, Jason.
Chad.
Oh, sorry. I don't need to go there. All right. You ready to put a bow on this one?
Let's put a bow on it.
All right. By the way, before we go, basketball practice started this week. The University of Virginia Cavaliers are back, baby. Ranked number 3 in the country, according to some preseason polls. You ready for some college hoops?
I watch only baseball, but wahoo, and I hope they make it at least until the second round before they are defeated in a humiliating manner. Chad, did I kill you?
This is Red Leg Nation Radio, episode number 228. I'm Chad Dotson, and his final episode ever of the podcast, it's Jason Linden. At Jason Linden on Twitter, I'm at Dotson C. We're at Red Leg Nation on Twitter and at redlegnation.com every single day, where we're talking about the Reds and have been since 2005, and they've lost a lot of games in those years.
Chad, who's this guy who says you sent him, and why does he want me to put my feet in concrete?
Yeah, you just have a little chat with that guy, if you would, please. You can subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio, Stitcher, iTunes, everywhere you get your podcasts. We're there. Please do subscribe, and please leave us a rating and review, and tell all your friends about us. As we always say, if you like us, talk about us. If you don't like us, keep your mouth
shut.
What
are these chains for?
What's that?
What are these chains for?
Jason, just be patient. They're going to show you exactly what's ahead of you. But I had a lot of fun talking to you this time, Jason.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
for Jason Linden, and I guess for the corpse of Jason Linden and Chad Dotson, this is Chad Dotson saying Lisa Alberto Bonilla goodbye or something.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from redlegnation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app, and join us for discussion of all things Reds at redlegnation.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, it doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first 3 audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.